City Limits, Winds of Change is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded in part through generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
For too long, marginalized communities have been the victims of racial injustice. Stories left untold.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Problems left unchanged and promises left unfulfilled.
We're marching to be seen, we are marching to be heard, and we continue to march for change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI training, has been on the rise for years across sectors. But following the murder of George Floyd, demand for these trainings surged. So while many companies and organizations relied on typical training structures to educate their staff, Syracuse City School District decided to start fresh. About 70 languages are spoken across SCSD student body, and around half of the district's students are Black, according to the State Education Department. Many students know intimately the realities of being from a marginalized community. So instead of bringing in someone from the outside to conduct DEI training, Director of Equity and Inclusion for the county's Department of Children and Family Services, Tasha Thomas-Neal, thought a better idea would be to utilize the talent, skills, and expertise of SCSD's own students.
It was an idea that was born of frustration and hopelessness and hopefulness and wanting to do things differently and being able to think creatively about how we could support young people in just making a change in the community.
The Student Coalition on Race and Equity, or SCORE, brings students to the front of the room and allows them to lead these trainings for school district staff and educators. Coordinator of Equity Initiatives, Monica Bako, believes it's the first program of its kind. She points out that most trainings, even if they are for those working in diverse youth environments, don't give the youth any power or authority.
They're a part of this society just as much as we are, and they are seeing and experiencing these things too, but they don't have a place to voice these things and to express these things and also to be the change agents that they want to see in their communities. And I think that was really something that sparked us doing it different and really flipping the script.
SCORE consists of three sessions for participants to complete: white privilege, implicit bias, and Black history. DEI professionals were hired to create a core curriculum for the program, but students got to personalize their presentation within the segments. Raekwon Pride has led dozens of trainings during this last academic year.
It just reminded me, like, this is what I've been thinking about all the time, because I did a Black history presentation, and I love history class. It's probably, like, my favorite one. But it's always just slavery, Martin Luther King, Barack Obama, that's it for Black history. And it kind of just glosses over everything else that's important. So for me to be able to tell history teachers and just teachers in general that we need more of our history in the curriculum, it was a really fun experience.
And even though there were plenty of educators who were engaged in his sessions, Pride said it was also apparent some teachers were apprehensive.
You can tell that, like, during the workshops, some teachers and staff weren't entirely open to it, because it's kind of hard to hear at first, especially from somebody who's younger than you and who you're normally teaching, and they're, like, giving you all this new information. And I guess some people take it the wrong way, saying, like, we're blaming them about what's happening, but that's not the case. We're just trying to explain to them what's happening and how you can take steps to avoid it and even get rid of it and just make everything better for the students and staff in general.
SCSD operated under a modified hybrid schedule due to the pandemic, which ended up allowing SCORE leaders to devote a day to holding sessions and discussions. Pride said when they first started, he had time to lead the workshop and decompress after it finished before heading to work. But as some of his extracurriculars picked up, it got tighter.
Football started, so we would do our meeting, and then with that, I would just go to practice. and think about what we talk about during the week and come back, go it over again. And then in the end of April, outdoor track started, do the meeting, go to practice, think about it again. And even one of our workshops, we finished it and immediately had to go out the house and go to a track meet. So yeah, it was a little jarring at first, but it just worked out well in my schedule. So it wasn't that bad.
All of the SCORE leaders are busy high school students. On top of sports, clubs, jobs, schoolwork, and other demands teenagers face, they're teaching the district's employees about the histories and inequities that impact their education. Tasha Thomas-Neal says this is hard work.
We need to be able to develop good self-care strategies because this is some difficult information to navigate in difficult times to navigate them.
That could get more difficult in the coming school year. With an expected return to a typical school schedule and in-person learning, the students will lose the time slot they've been using for the trainings.
So we don't have that Wednesday independent study day to work with them. That's what we did every Wednesday this week. If they weren't doing workshops and we were meeting to prepare, to talk about things, you know, to debrief the Capitol Right, like meeting every Wednesday. And so we do want to figure out a way for students to be able to get extra credit for this because it's important.
While this program prioritizes putting youth in positions of leadership and power, adults will still play a role. Thomas Neal's philosophy is simple.
They give us support when we need it, and they back away when we don't.
Thomas Neal and Monica Bako have tried to execute this model not only with the current SCORE program, but also in their future planning. Bako says as they've had students teaching the first three sessions, they're already thinking of new modules to add to the training.
So all of this workshops and trainings that we are adding comes from really their voice. We're talking about redlining. We should do a training about redlining and how redlining has actually shown up in the Syracuse community, right? We talk a lot about identity. Let's dive into identity and what it actually means and how do we identify and how do we connect with people to learn how they identify. So we're adding modules to dive deeper into this aspect of diversity, equity, and inclusion because it's so much more than just white privilege, implicit bias, and Black history.
They're also working to expand the SCORE program beyond the Syracuse City School District into other schools in Onondaga County. The goal is to eventually have other students instead of adult staff train incoming SCORE leaders. Both Bako and Thomas Neal say building a framework where those impacted eventually have ownership of the program is an important part of equity work.
So I think when you're looking to build something equitable, and I love this quote, nothing about me without me. If you're going to make decisions, initiatives, any type of practices, procedures, and they are directly going to impact stakeholders, they need to be at the table. Some part of their voice needs to be there so that they can bring their perspective and show you how to make it equitable because you won't know how because you're not walking in those shoes.
Marginalized and historically oppressed communities and communities who are facing the worst outcomes have everything within themselves to heal themselves. And so we need to be looking at these communities as experts in that work. And so students are experts in what's going to work for them. And so when we're thinking about all those different stakeholder groups with inequitable outcomes, we need to be not only asking them to come to the table, but really, we should really be listening to them and we should really do what they tell us to do.
SCORE programs will start up in the Syracuse City School District again this fall and winter. In the meantime, SCORE leaders and coordinated care services staff are working on grant applications so students can be compensated for their work and the program can continue well into the future. For City Limits, I'm Katie Zolkowski.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.